I am going to read the chat. That's what I do. I'll read it, damn it. Oh, we're live.
Oh, I missed the music.
It's okay. I see that. It's okay. Yeah, welcome to Geeks with Kids, the bi-weekly geeky podcast from Parenting Point. No, that's not right. That's not our tagline. There is no tagline because it's 2024. We're rebranding.
Hi, we just a bunch of guys had nothing to do tonight.
Yeah, no. We're talking, we have lots
to do, but we chose to be here
to talk about the things people that we normally do.
We're poking our heads up from the Final Fantasy world to talk about it, and then we're going right back down in there.
And honestly, I will read that message, Dave, and I read it. My voice is sort of sore, so I don't know how talkative I'll be, so I'll let these guys gush over the whole thing. I went to a reunion over the weekend, and I died. It was so funny. I laughed way too much that I lost my voice. So, you know, there's that.
Speaking of reunions, I'm super pissed off about something.
Okay.
So I mean, not pissed off, but just like, it's just one of those like horrible inconvenient timing things. Mm-hmm. But like, so the Tivoli is planning a reunion. And
on the ashes like of the Tiff.
This year is 20 years since it went down. So everybody who was behind it is organizing like a big reunion this summer, and I'm super excited about it. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm seeing all the people on the guest list, people I haven't seen for like 20 years. And I'm like really wanting to go. This is great. It's the fucking day of my brother's wedding.
Oh, boo.
Like the one day of the summer it could fall on. And it's not even like I can go to the wedding and then go to like the reception and then like duck out and go to the party afterwards. Cause the wedding is 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, fuck. So screw me then.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
I mean, that's rough. Yeah. That's rough. You know, you could always tell your brother, like, you know, there's no other time I can really do this.
I'd love to. Oh my God, I would love to, but no, can't.
I got stuck in traffic. The whole
I would be disowned if I did that.
That's fair. Well, congrats to your brother. Congrats to Tivoli for people remembering that it was a thing, a haunted, haunted thing. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, man. The Tiff was scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had, haunted Hamilton tours went through there all the time. One of my buddies was one of the tour guides for it.
So he
specifically had it added to the tour so that he could bring people through there.
I went on that tour, which was fun, but first we would go through, I think there's like an old macaroni factory that was haunted in Hamilton, which was so funny when you're like 20 something and high off like whatever and going on this, and there's this really bad like 20 year old actor trying to do a British accent, and you're just making fun of him saying a macaroni the whole night. That might have been me being a dick, but
that's what I love about Hamilton. We're the waterfall capital of the world, and we're like the weird haunted place capital of the world too. Everywhere you go downtown is like that place. That's an old carriage factory. That's haunted. That there they used to make Legos there. That's haunted.
You used to make Legos in Hamilton?
No, I'm just making that. Oh, okay. They probably did, maybe.
Mm. Dave is wondering if we believe in ghosts, a thing that totally doesn't exist. We should do this question during Halloween.
We should save it.
Do you believe in magic? Well, yeah, you know what's a good thing with magic? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. See that segue?
Nice segue.
Great segue. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes,
dude.
This is what I've been working towards all weekend, I guess. I don't know.
If only I had said I believe in materia.
Do you believe in materia? Only when Yuffie brings it to you, right? Because she's the materia master.
I haven't got her yet.
We will talk about her. Anyway, let's start with what's good. What is good? What are you liking right now? I'm going to start with Brent. What are you liking?
Oh, you know what I'm liking. I have been chewing Eric's ear off about this on
I want to know because
on Facebook chat for a few like a couple weeks now, but like we had our Survivor podcast a little while back, just the two of us, and
we'll have
like,
another so one.
We are the aficionados and the geeks for that on here, but my God, the new Australian season of that show is so fucking good. It has no reason to be as good as it is. Like, I'm realizing now watching this season just how much I have not really enjoyed a lot of the new age of the show. Because this is just going back to classic, just everybody that's on it is just playing to win. They're just fighting hard. There's nobody who's getting like under edited or overshadowed. Like every single person is bringing it day in, day out. Every single vote since the merge has been like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, because these people keep swapping in and out, changing alliances and crazy. And it has been such a thrill to watch. And I love that they do 3 episodes a week, because it's really like feeding me.
That's crazy. That's crazy. How many episodes have come out of this season?
Tomorrow will be number 18, I believe.
Good lord, that's like a full season of US Survivor.
Yeah, well, the Australian does 24 episodes a season.
Oh damn,
they do everything long. Like their cast is 24 people instead of like 18 to 20 like it is here. Mm-hmm. They have non-elimination episodes where they do like some big twist and to kind of screw up the game. And it's a slower paced game compared to the American one, which gives you time to get to know the people who are playing better. It gets you more invested in it. And this season has just been like, they brought in new producers and new editors, and it shows, because it's the first time where I'm like, they've had seasons where they've had people go home in episode 8 or 9 and they've never had a single confessional the entire season.
Mm.
And I was like, that's not good. Now this time it's like every single person, like, you know everything about them. Like,
yeah, that's,
you know, every time someone starts to fall below the line and you're like, oh, I don't really know what's going on. Like one guy in the show right now, he's kind of started falling below that line where you're like, oh, we don't really hear from him. All of a sudden today's episode, he just like emerges huge.
Nice.
And blows the game up again. And I'm like,
yeah, amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, we'll talk about, at least regular US old, Survivor in a couple weeks. Once that gets closer to the end. I still haven't seen it. I know there's only one episode out, but there's another one coming out in 2 days.
It was a good episode. I will say it was a good premiere episode. There is one guy on the season who is probably, I would say, maybe potentially the worst player that's ever played the game.
Even worse than the people last year that just were like, nope, I can't do this anymore.
This is a guy who literally every decision you could possibly make, and you know, if I do this, it's the right decision. If I do this, it's the bad, it's the wrong decision. Always going for the wrong decision.
I hope he wins.
And it's hilarious to watch how delusional the person is about how good they think they're playing the game. And I'm going to be the best player that's ever played this game. I am going down in history as a legend. And meanwhile, it's like they are just blowing shit up constantly.
I wonder if that's their game plan, though. That would be interesting.
It was very entertaining to watch.
All right. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing it. Hawk.
So, I had heard about it for a little while. I kind of put it in the back burner, but last night I decided to fire up the first episode of Shogun, the new adaptation of the old James Clavell novel.
It's very good.
First episode was mind-blowingly good. Like, just, you know, I think they told it in a really great way. For those who don't know, it takes place in 1600 after the death of Taiko, whose son was not old enough to take over as ruler of Japan, and that, so a power vacuum opened up that 5 warlords were competing for, and that, to be the next shogun. So that's how it starts. But you were also introduced to James Thorne, Blackthorne, sorry. Or John Blackthorne, that was his name. It was a European Protestant whose ship was looking for Japan, because the Catholic Portuguese apparently kept their trading route to Japan secret from Europe for a long time. You know, nobody knew the route except for them. His ship, on its last legs, manages to drift into the coast of Japan. He and the rest of his crew are taken. And from all the looks of it, his mind is about to be blown, because he comes in with a lot of preconceptions and that. So, the S word comes up a lot.
That is fair.
But looks great. The production's awesome. They have a lot of talented actors working, you know, on a very, very, really difficult story. Like that whole opening bit kind of bugged me in that one. That samurai who apparently offended his master by sticking up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Has to end his bloodline.
Yep. Yep. It's brutal, man. That show's brutal, yeah. But good. So good. Yeah. And apparently it's like a six novel, like a series novel or something like that. But it's like,
yeah, there was a series of them, yeah, right?
But they're all,
I wrote, like, because it put me in mind, like, years ago, like, we weren't technically allowed to watch it when we were young, but like, I was old enough to remember, like, the when they were the original TV adaptation with Richard Chamberlain in the John Blackthorne role.
I did not realize that there was an older one of this.
It was a whole network thing, television event, and that it's like, a lot of it still stuck out. It's like, probably I had to be like around 7 or 8 when I shouldn't have been watching this at that point. It's like, but a lot of it stuck in my head, that one scene in that when they were trying to root out a Christian among the Shogunate rank, and that scene where it's like they threw the cross into the sand, and that each Shogun warrior, and that if he was not, had to come up and grind it into the dirt, and that to prove he wasn't a Christian.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the one guy who was, and that tries to take, it's like, no, and he tries to go for his sword. Yeah.
It's on FX in the States and Disney Plus in Canada, which has FX stuff. But not all FX stuff, which is confusing, because I would love, like, Fargo on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Or, there was that, you guys ever see that Mr. In Between?
Nope.
Series and that? There's only 2 seasons of it on Disney FX and that. And I know there's more. There's more out there, and they're just hoarding them.
Streaming services are annoying, which brings me to me. This is not a what's good, but a what's bad, and it's Netflix. Uh-oh. Netflix, what the hell? Why did Why did you cancel The Brother's Son? It was so good.
They did not.
They canceled it over the weekend. Just why? Why? That show was amazing. It was probably one of the best things I saw last year. Like, I don't understand you guys.
I had not had Netflix for probably about 2 years, and I actually just recently, I just got it again last month, just for the month, because there was some true crime stuff that I wanted to see on it. Like, I wanted to watch the trials of Gabriel Fernandez, because I couldn't find it anywhere else. I'm like, fuck it, I'll pay for the subscription for a month and check it out. And I'm going through everything else they have, and I'm just like, Netflix is garbage now. Like, there's nothing on it that I want to watch anymore that I haven't already seen. Like,
One Piece, the live-action one, is good.
Yeah.
Avatar Last Airbender is all right. It's all right. Did you finish it, Hawk?
Yeah.
I haven't finished it. That's how unexcited I am to, finish it.
There's only 8 episodes.
And it's a shame. I think I'm at episode 6. I've only got 2 more to go. And it's like, I'm just not interested. It made me go back and rewatch, the original and that.
Yeah,
same. What am I missing?
It's so much better. It's so much better. Yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll finish it so I can talk to you about it and be like, what the fuck? Why? Anyway. That's enough of that. Well, wait, what's good? I went to a reunion over the weekend, which was at McMaster University. I saw my old theater group there. They performed the final show at Robinson Memorial Theater. They're closing that theater, and they're moving to a newer, better place, I guess. But that was the theater that I did all my shows at, so it was nice to go there for before they, close it or whatever. And it was, it was fun seeing all those people. And the show was good. So, nice to see it end on a high note. I'm done.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I guess. Let's go back to, as I pull up my notes, VII Rebirth. What's your relationship with the first one? Did you play the original one, back in the 90s? Go, Brent.
This game, the original one, is has a very, very, very special place in my life. I'd say there's a few games in my life that have defined me as a gamer, and this is definitely one of them. I think originally I would say Super Mario World was probably one of the first games that really invested me in gaming when my brother bought a Super Nintendo and got that while we were on Christmas vacation in Florida. And basically he and I just spent all of our time in the hotel playing Super Mario Brothers. And then I kind of fell out of gaming for a while, and then I went over to a buddy's house one day and was watching him play this game with these weird little triangular characters running around grass in the open world, and I said, what the hell is this? And he said, this is Final Fantasy VII. And I'm like, never even heard of the first 6. So I sat there and I watched him play for a little bit, watched him battle, and then I said, do you mind if I give it a try? And he started me over a brand new character, and I sat there and played for 7 straight hours at his house. Went out the next day, I happened to be working at Canadian Tire at the time, and we sold PlayStations and PlayStation games and stuff there, and I got a staff discount of 25%, so I walked into work the next day, gave me the PlayStation, gave me Final Fantasy VII, and I don't think I left my house until I beat it.
That's like I played it 80 again, hours.
And I played it again and again and again. And I've probably played the original at least 7 or 8 times at this point in my life. And I love it. I love it so much. It is one of those games that just changed me. It made me love RPGs. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I could love story-based video games. I was something I was always very adamant against. And this made me fall in love with it. So,
okay. Hawk.
Yeah, well, Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo was my first introduction to the series, but then there was a long break in between that and this, obviously. For me personally, in that, I wasn't really that much into gaming in that throughout the kind of first half of the 90s. But, you know, I was always curious about, you know, when around 96, I was curious about this PlayStation, and then, like, the advertising campaign around Final Fantasy VII and that launching on the PlayStation and that, and... It, you know, like, it was a whole campaign behind it, commercials and everything, and it really got me interested. And that's like that Christmas I got my PlayStation, I got Final Fantasy VII for it, and yeah, it was as life-changing as they had promised, because, you know, I was introduced to this new graphics engine and this new way of kind of unfolding a story for an RPG. I'd never seen anything like it.
I remember watching like the full motion video sequence when they're escaping the Shinra headquarters in the truck. Mm-hmm. And I still to this day vividly always remember that and going like, it's never going to get better than this. Video games are never going to look better than this. This is so amazing.
I for me personally, when I saw Final Fantasy for the first time, it was on one of those NES kiosks at Sears where you used to press a button to play different games.
Yeah.
So Final Fantasy was one of them, and I'd be like, what is this? And, you know, as a, 7-year-old, I was like, I don't understand this, and I didn't understand it. So I thought it looked cool, but nothing else. And then, like Hawk said, the advertising campaign for Final Fantasy VII was intense, and I never had a PlayStation. I didn't know anyone with a PlayStation in 97. I was 16 at the time. I think that was me being like, I'm going to be a rock star when I get older. Yeah. That was there, but I still play video games. And then I went to my cousin's where he was in somewhere in Virginia, like Virginia Beach or something like that. And he had one, and he was like, "You should check this out." And we played Gran Turismo, and because his car was the cover, like he had the car that was on the cover of Gran Turismo. So I was like, "Oh, cool!" And then he's like, "I think you would like this game," and he put on Final Fantasy VII, and I was like, "Oh my god, this game's amazing." And then I ended up buying it on PC because I didn't have a PlayStation, but I had a PC with a CD-ROM. So I got to play it. And it was like, and then like the one thing I remember out of everything, and I don't know if it was at my cousin's house or if I saw it on a commercial, was when Cloud was on his motorbike and he breaks through that window, you know, like when you're leaving in the first, on the first disc, and you're like, I was like, this is peak. This is like Brent was saying, this is nothing's gonna get better than this. This is amazing. I've never seen anything like this. And then like Reboot came out like a couple years later. I was like, everything's coming up pixels or something. Yeah. Anyway, what'd you guys think of Final Fantasy? What was the remake? Remake.
Remake.
Yeah. I don't think you guys were on the review when we did it. Because I think it was
I was not.
I think it was before you, Brent, because it was on PS4. And I'm pretty sure I had Matt Moore on. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think you did. I kind of remember being on.
I think you were on it, but I don't think you finished the game. I think you had the lead.
No.
Yeah. So we talked about how they didn't just remake the first game, or Final Fantasy VII, but they took it and they, like, spun it on its head and did, like, a different ending and, like, changed things. And now this is a whole new... I like that we don't know what's coming. Like, I literally don't know what's coming. And that's what Final Fantasy VII Remake did for me. As well as have an awesome, like, system. It ran like butter on the PS4. Mm-hmm. Like, it was at the end of its life life cycle. So it was running really good, and it was it on two discs as well? I don't remember.
No, it was just one.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't think I had. I bought it digital.
I think I got it digitally as well.
I did too. It was like I picked it up during the pandemic. After lockdown.
Yeah, it came out in 2021. So that would. No, wait. 2020. Yeah. So lockdown time. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I got it digitally.
Yes.
Do you guys play it? You played it, obviously. What'd you think? What'd you think of it?
It was a weird game for me. In the sense, I loved the story of it. I loved how they expanded on the story. I love how they altered certain things that they could alter without really changing the outcome of it, but like enough to keep you invested and keep you going. Like, oh, this is originally the whole fact that Wedge living in that game and then developing the story of Wedge, Biggs, and Jesse a lot more. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love those characters in the original game, and I hated when they all get like killed off so quickly. But I love how they expanded on certain areas of the game. It, for me, what got me was just the combat system I was not ready for. And it's because I'm a traditional JRPG player. I like traditional turn-based, and I didn't really. It was almost action oriented where I could like live with it, but it wanted to stay in the realm of turn-based, and it was this weird combination of the two where I feel like it just needed to go all the way one direction or all the way the other direction or find a better hybrid, and I just couldn't get past that playing it. I loved the story, but I didn't like the actual gameplay of it.
I kind of went the opposite direction on that. It's that combat engine that really drew me back into it. The game and that, because like I think it's amazing in that it's like you don't have to go one direction or the other in that. It's like it's comfortable enough for a turn-based, and it also has that challenge that I love in gaming, and that is kind of mastering like different combat systems and that. You see it a lot in like Jedi and games like that, and I love that they've kind of like managed to find a way to incorporate it into the series in that in like a very satisfying way. And the fact that you can control any teammate you want at any given point is awesome. And it makes for these very interesting combat scenarios. You have to put the time in to learn it, obviously, and that, but there's so much you can do in that, Aerith alone, like on your team as a mage wielder is like crazy powerful in that when you've got her tuned out right.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna completely contradict myself when I get to the combat system of this game.
Well, I was gonna say for Final Fantasy Remake, like the combat was good, but then they refined it for Final Fantasy 16 without having to control your other characters. Like I think this is just based off of Final Fantasy 16, plus adding the other controlling other people,
which I liked. And I think what it was I think it was more just the shock to my system of playing the Final Fantasy game of that style. Whereas, like, this is a series I grew up playing it a certain way, and they just completely changed it. And I was like, I don't like this. I like my things the way they used to be. Like, I just went old man on it.
That's fair.
But I think, like, it's a system that's grown on me now, and I've learned to appreciate it. And especially the fact that they've made those little tweaks to perfect it. Because I think it's fantastic in this game.
Yeah. Did you guys end up playing the Yuffie DLC that they released when they re-released it? For the PS5.
I reinstalled it. I put it on the other day. I played for about a minute, and I was so dead tired, and I was just like, I need sleep.
So you can get the save.
I was going to go back and play because I wanted to get like I wanted to see the storyline. I wanted to get whatever rewards they give you. And then when I logged in this game, I found out you didn't have to play it all the way through. You only had to load it up, and they gave you the reward. So I was like, oh, never mind. I'll play it another time.
Do you want me to tell you what the story is? It's actually quite good.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. You go ahead.
So basically, Yuffie and she has like that a sidekick person, like a partner named Sonon. And they basically try and infiltrate Shinra headquarters. And basically, they fail. And Sonon dies so that Yuffie can escape. And then we meet her in this game because she goes to find these avalanche, not deserters, but an offshoot that she thinks is really, you know.
Have you guys met any of the new characters yet in the game?
I met Yuffie. Yeah, I have Yuffie now.
I haven't met Yuffie yet.
You haven't met Yuffie?
I did play the demo. You know, I know what part I'm going to meet her at, and I'm very close to that. But right now, I'm just so taking my time with it.
Okay, so I met her, but she's not part of my party yet. Does that?
Yes.
Has that happened to you?
I haven't. Not yet.
Oh, I'm ahead of you story-wise? That makes no sense.
That really doesn't make any sense. I haven't met
Yuffie. Yeah,
because you're not mistaking her for Tifa again, are you?
No. Tifa's a major.
You don't make that mistake twice.
I was very confused at the beginning of this game because I was like, why is Tifa with us? Isn't she not here for later? And then I was like, man, I'm talking about Yuffie. I'm such an idiot.
That's where my big excitement level of this game is knowing the original one so well and knowing what's coming, what characters are coming, what areas. Like, God, I can't wait for the Golden Saucer.
Yep.
Cannot wait to go to the Golden Saucer.
I mean, they talk about it in the game, right?
I can't wait for the Golden Saucer. I can't wait for Kate Sith. Like, oh.
Yeah. Well, you got your Chocobo already, right? Mm-hmm. So they talked about it already, that the Golden Saucer exists and that there are races.
Oh, yeah, I know. They talked about doing the races and stuff there.
I'm in Chapter 4. I'm in Jonon. Jonon? Yeah, that's right. The big guns.
I'm in the Chapter 3, the Mithril Tunnels right now.
Oh, Mithril Tunnels was very cool. Oh,
cool. Yeah.
In
case you're wondering, don't be afraid if you haven't finished anything in the grasslands yet. You know.
Yeah. I'll eventually get back there. My fast travel is locked right now because of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going. I have one side mission to do. I need to create a gear for somebody, but I've been trying to farm damn beast bones and I can't get them. None of the enemies that drop them will drop them for me, and I'm trying to get them so I can.
You can buy them.
Thank God, because I'm going nuts trying to find. I need two more, and I can't.
You can buy them at the Chocobo Farm.
Well, maybe I'll just do that, because then I just need to make that and then give it to a person, and then that mission's done. And then I have one more combat intel mission, and then Grasslands is 100% done.
Let's rewind. So we're talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, <Yeah. laughs> the second in the Final Fantasy VII Remake saga.
Tangential today.
That just got released on February 29th, 2024, because Square Enix, of course, you would launch it on Leap Day. It's the second of maybe three.
Thing matters on Leap Day.
That makes it special. And it's on the PS5. And only the PS5.
I think they
have
said it's only going to be three, with probably another DLC being released.
I mean, it makes sense story wise.
I assume I know where this one ends too,
because it's the middle one.
I think we all
the
assume
sad
we know
one.
Where the story is.
Yes, I think
there's a reason why I used your quote as the title of this episode.
What did you say?
Not like this.
I wrote.
Oh, okay.
You saw the title.
I haven't seen
this. I just read it now. I'm like, yeah.
Oh no, I've caught feelings for Aerith again.
I love her so much.
When you said that, I was like, oh no. Oh no. You know where this is headed.
I know where it's going. I'm leading myself into heartbreak again, but I don't care, damn it. I can just, as soon as it happens, I'll just restart the game.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about this game. This is made for the PS5. It's on two discs, so you know it's a big game. A data disc and a play disc.
160 gig.
I had to delete some stuff on there just to...
Worth it.
It was worth it. It was worth it. But I also had to delete Final Fantasy VII, which I was I was doing the DLC so I could get that stuff. Doesn't matter. I got it. So let's just start from the basics. We'll go into story later. What story we have seen. But what do you think of the graphical upgrade from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to Final Fantasy VII? No, Final Fantasy Remake to Rebirth.
It's so pretty. Just because we're finally getting something that we didn't get in the first game, which is an open world. Everything was very linear. Everything was very stagnant in the first game. Whereas now you're in an actual, open, living, breathing world. And I think that was by choice. I think they wanted the first game to feel, because you're in Midgar the whole time, they wanted it to feel more stagnant, more deathly. And now you're in an area that's much more lively and vibrant, and everything is breathing, and it feels that way. That's why I do the side quests and everything first. I can't help but just wander around, ride around on the Chocobo, wander around checking out everything, and the area is just so goddamn beautiful.
Huck.
Like have you done the picture challenges where you have to like go up to like certain sites and like take photos and everything? Mm-hmm. That's the game basically adding a side quest just to show off how pretty the game
Which is funny because before I got that, I was already taking pictures in the game. Because I love photo modes. I don't know if you guys know that. I talk about it every time we review something. Huck, what do you think of the visual upgrade?
Visual upgrade is incredible. It's so worth it. Like I said, it's a huge chunky game engine that they make you download in that, and it's totally worth it in that because it pushes the game really further into the idea of being a role playing game. Much more so than the remake in that. You know, it's like remake was lovely in that. It's, you know, it's obviously it's, you know, based on one of the greatest RPGs, but like nowadays. It's hard to call it an RPG when it keeps kind of pushing you in one direction linearly and that through it and that. So it's, you know, that's more the realm of any story driven action game. This feels like an RPG and that, just to be able to free roam everywhere and that, to just explore, like, you know, anywhere you want. And it pays off in that, in the grasslands and that. Yeah.
You can literally see down the way and you'd be like, I'm going to walk over there, and you can walk over there.
But awesome. I had also heard something about a little mini island and that, and I was like, there's some treasure out there, and I know
what?
North on the map.
I'll find it.
I've seen it. I haven't ventured out there yet, but I've seen it.
But you really have to explore and find your pathway down in that, because, you know, it's like, I consult the map quite a bit, but graphically it's an accomplishment all its own in that, and Square Enix really needs to be proud of itself in that, on this one, because, like, you know, they really pushed the franchise into the, you know, the 2024 and that, as far as what this system can do and show off.
For sure.
Yeah.
I was playing it on
time.
I was playing it on fidelity mode for a little bit because it was so pretty. I ended up switching to performance just for the combat reasons, but it's a pretty game. And even fidelity mode didn't run that badly. I just liked how smooth the fighting was on performance. That being said, I don't think I've had any real graphical issues with the game. There's a couple pop-ins, but, you know, that happens in every game. This game is just so pretty and so nice. Yeah. Like, visually, I love the character designs. When you guys see Yuffie, she's adorable. Just adorable. And I think it's so well done. It helps.
And
that
it's amazing that they've reached this point where basically the cutscenes flow back into the game action, like, you know, without any sort of without any interruption.
It looks like all the cutscenes are just made with in-game engine. Like, it just looks like
they are. You can tell.
It's incredible. It helps that all the voice acting is phenomenal, like just spot on. And I noticed that in the first, like we all noticed that in the first game. So they continued that trend. Sound-wise, again, top-notch, like any Square Enix game. Do we need to add anything else to this? The music's amazing, the sound effects.
I love that in certain areas, you can hear the original music from, like, the original game. But in some areas, like, it's very quietly playing in the background that, like, you almost don't notice it at first. Like, so I love that nice little, like, subtle nod to the original.
Yeah. It's like Prince of Persia. I love that the jukeboxes often play that type of music. Like, when you're in a bar or something, it's like, I recognize this music. You're amazing, Square Enix. The sound effects and everything are so good that even from the last game, that there's still my notifications on my phone. Like, I have the Chocobo as my text message, and I have, like, Barrett as my voicemail, like him doing that is when I get my voice.
And for the last few days, you've been ending every text message with Koopo.
Oh my god, they're so cute in this game.
Have you found the Mog World?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like one of the first things I found. I was like, oh my god, this is a thing. I've only found one of them though.
Yeah, I've only found the one. I think there's one per region. I've only found one in the grass.
I think they said there are four or five. Yeah, let's talk about.
They said there's seven.
Is there seven?
Because I finished the first one, and then they were like, "There's six more of us out there. Go find them."
Fair. Then I can spend my Moogle coins. Let's talk about the gameplay and all of this new stuff. The combat system is the same as Remake, but just a little bit evolved. What do you think of the new working active Combat, I think.
I switched back and forth for the first little while to try both of them out, and I've settled on active. I've become a convert to the combination of like actual action like gameplay and the JRPG like elements to add in and everything, and I love it because it makes I'm doing it a lot more than I did the first one, switching between characters and getting them to use certain abilities, switching back to another one and using an ability that like balances perfectly with that and counteracts off of it. And the combat's just been so much fun. I don't know what it is that I just love about it so much more this one than I did in the last one.
It's just because they've revamped everything on that. The whole synergy system that they put in place on that, where it's like your characters are genuinely interacting with each other, and that, you know, as long as you have the appropriate ones opened up for them.
I love the fact that, too, that even though you have your party, while you're fighting, if you look in the background, you see the rest of your teammates all in there, like,
and they are actually affecting it, and they do get hurt, because there's materia you can get that says that if you're not in active combat, it doesn't hurt your character. So I have that on Barret because he's not part of my party right now.
I saw a great build yesterday in that for interacting between, like, you know, Aerith and other characters, where it's like you have this synergy thing. Apparently you get it like later on in the game, and that the Cosmo Coves. But basically, when you set her up with her arcane wards and her radiant ward, you know, you can basically apply this materia to her, and she's going to be casting spells without spending MP points.
Oh my
god. Yeah, I have I don't know which one it is. I have some kind of synergy one between her and Cloud that gives me for like a minute straight I don't spend any MP.
I've
been like just absolutely hammering that down. Like whenever I start getting low on health, I do that and then just start like spam healing everybody.
I mean, it is the way. Plus if you add that, there's also that one materia that you can add to the Cura that makes it use less MP, so Aerith can just be like constantly healing. It's amazing.
Who like in general have you been using as your squad? I've been for the most part rolling with Cloud, Aerith, and Red 13.
That's what I've been using as well.
Yeah. Occasionally I put Tifa in there.
Same. That's Aerith, exactly the same.
Instead of Aerith, but I'm finding that I prefer Aerith for the magic now.
I keep Aerith there, but sometimes I swap out Red with Tifa.
I love Red for his vengeful attack where gets the health siphon.
The siphon, yeah, the siphon.
Oh, because he could just go ballistic with him and he can't die.
I kind of like Barret for the tankiness. You know, it's like he's always a good distraction in that, especially when Aerith is getting beat up.
Mm. You could also have him as the healer, which is good because he has a lot of HP.
Yeah,
as it is.
One more thing on the combat.
This is part of the combat.
Yeah, for sure.
It feels like you have much more options as far as your enemies go. And that it's like when you're facing like say a winged enemy or a ranged enemy in that, and it's like you've got Cloud in that. Maybe it's or Tifa. Sometimes it's a little more difficult than that. It seems like you get way more options than that for your character to be able to take on different beasts without the aid of other people. And that Cloud does this great evasion thing where you dodge and then spam your square button and that, and starts throwing out like basically like arcing like light waves from his sword.
I ran into that by accident. I thought it was amazing. I gotta look at the move list because they have a move list now. I find the combat
They had a tutorial specifically for that earlier in the game, but they don't tell you that move when they give you the tutorial. They stop the fight and they go, sometimes enemies are out of reach and you need to use special attacks in order to hit them. Like Cloud has a special attack that will hit enemies that are out of range, but then they don't tell you what the attack is. You're just
There's two of them too.
Wait, what am I supposed to do? Like,
cause you can use the slashing one or you can do the one where he jumps up and attacks them, which are both why wouldn't you?
They're
say
kind
that?
Of connected together because, like, you do a dodge, you know, as soon as you finish your dodge, you hit the square button, and that he's gonna send out. But also, if you hold the square button, his character does a leap up into the straight up, into the air right at the enemy you're going for.
Yeah, it's amazing. The combat is so much better this season.
The only negative that I have really about the combat is that the parry timing is ridiculously difficult. Yeah.
And there's material for that.
I'm finding in general the blocking doesn't seem to do much. I've noticed like enemies hit me I'm seeing how much damage they're taking, and then I hold block while they're hitting me, and I'm taking the exact same amount of damage.
Yeah, I just
dodge. I've just given up on blocking, and I just dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep at it, you know, because it is very effective, especially if you're looking to stagger. Yeah, because like every time you successfully pull off one of those kind of parry blocks, you know, you're applying stagger damage to the guy. Yeah.
My stagger is pretty good as it is.
Yeah.
I do love, I'm finding in this one too, I'm focusing a lot more on doing like the pressuring and staggering.
Pressuring is really cool.
It's required. And I don't know if you guys have done any, gone up against Titan yet. Unless you do all of the components to get him down to like the lowest level, like which makes him really easy to beat.
Because he has stages to that fight too. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because I finished all three of the things to bring is, which is a component of the game that I love, that you have to earn the summons, but you can make the fights easier by branching out into the world and finding these temples. And there's little mini games that you can do, and each one you do brings their power level down a little bit, making them easier to defeat to earn. Mm-hmm. So I went and did all three, and then I went back and fought him, and it was like, I blinked and he was dead. I was like, oh shit, yeah. That's really helpful.
It's still a challenge. I haven't fully beat him yet, so
it's fun. We can't talk about. I don't want to spoil this game because it's so new.
I feel like as long as we keep everything within the grasslands area of the game, like,
yeah, I think that's fine.
Because none of us are that far that we're really spoiling anything.
Already been exposed to the Junon region too through the demo, so it's like those kind of grasslands, Junon, are pretty much fair game at this point.
I wonder how much has changed from the demo though. Like, I'm just curious because I didn't play all the demo.
I think as long as we don't touch on like story points and stuff like that, I don't think it's wrong.
Oh no, I was just curious. I didn't mean that. I meant I'm just wondering what has changed from that point. There are a bunch of new side quests, I want to say. Like the variety is way more than the last game. Yes. The last game really we just had that little dude. The little techno dude as the VR guy, but now there's way
Chadley.
More. Chadley.
I hate Chadley.
I used to hate him, but I sort of like him now.
I still don't like him, but
he's back and
he's a necessary evil.
He is a necessary evil. He's very rude this time.
I mean, you're sort of a dick to him.
You know, he's sort of a dick back. He's like, he reminds you when you have, he's like, it seems World Intel collecting has dropped off a bit, you know, basically like you're not doing your job.
Oh, I've been World Intel. So I love the towers collecting those.
There's an interaction with Chadley that I got to where there's another NPC that sends you out on like quests and stuff like that.
The lady.
And she will talk to you on like the little screen and everything. She'll give you
May.
And at one point, May. Thank you. At one point, May's like talking to me, and all of a sudden, Chadley just comes in and goes, "Don't listen to her. Shut up!" And he like cuts her off and kicks her off the call.
Oh, there was one interaction where he actually turned her volume down on her.
Oh man, so Chadley is back. He has some things. He still has the VR stuff, and he's the person to get upgraded materia, and he has these towers for research, which I think is really cool. Sort of feels like Far Cry, where you have to.
This is Ubisoft's Final Fantasy. It feels the way that they've done
part.
Like not just that, but like by showing you where are the locations of all of the side quest stuff to do and everything, and all the collectible things and everything. It felt very like Assassin's Creed, Far Cry.
I can see them. I don't mind.
I still
love
it though. I have no problem. That's one of my favorite things about. I'm one of those people that does not complain about that element of Ubisoft games. I love that element.
What do you think?
I love how naturally it's all kind of acclimated into the world. And that I texted you the other night, remember to follow the owls, owls you find.
I was like, I already follow owls in real life. So why not?
Yeah. Any owl you find, follow it. Any little baby chocobo, follow them.
Yeah.
The rabbits, go where the rabbits are.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that about the rabbits.
Yeah, every time you see a bunch of rabbits, that's where a treasure's hidden.
Oh, they indicate where you dig up treasure.
The chocobo does that anyway. I was wondering why there was always animals when I dug up
treasure. The rabbits indicate where the actual dig spot is, so you don't have to like wander around too much.
Oh, I just follow the little light line to where it goes. That's
You're not always going to have that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I've never not had it.
I've not had it a lot.
That's weird.
There was a side quest I did, which was, pissed me off a little bit at first, and that because it's like you're asked to find stuff, but you're not given an idea, you know, indicators on the map where usually, like, you know, just pinpoint them on the map for you, and that this time you're left on your own. It was like, this is pissing me off. Maybe I should go back and talk to the guy. Maybe he's supposed to tell me something. Then I noticed a little sub feature. It said, every time you have an active quest in that, look to the bottom left, and if you press left on the digital pad, it'll bring up any notes you have for it. Mm-hmm. So apparently he gives you this note. It's a hand-drawn map, and you got to suss out like where these spots are.
Oh, I love the hand-drawn parts.
I love it. It was great.
They have a couple of those.
Yeah, I had that with like there was the flower crown quest.
The flower crown
hand drawn note that you pull up.
Oh, that was a cute quest.
I like another little addition that they made for some of the side quests, and that is for the crafting. Mm-hmm. There's a menu within the crafting that you can designate a to-do list.
Yeah.
So if you have like specific items that you need to craft more so than anything, you can put them on that to-do list to prioritize. And I was like, that is great because I had the materials that I needed to make that one item I was complaining about not having, but then I just built a potions. Whole bunch of other stuff and ended up running out. And I'm like, oh, damn it. So then I saw that feature and I'm like, I wish I had that.
You silly done bastard.
That first.
We had mentioned it.
Yeah,
we mentioned it earlier, but what do you guys think of the Moogle Mischief? Have you done more than one?
Just the one so far, but I loved it.
Yeah, there's another one in June on.
Yeah, I did the one and that. It was cute.
It's very cute. The thing I'm looking forward to, and you do it in the demo, but I haven't really done it in the full game, is the piano stuff.
Yeah, I played the piano at the beginning of the game, but I had no music. I was just literally.
Yeah, they didn't get. Yeah, they gave you the music for Tifa's song in the demo. Yeah. But when you encounter the same scene in this one, you don't have any music.
The music comes later. It's coming in chapter 6, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I looked up. I was like, is my game broken? Where's Tifa's thing? They're like, you get it later. It's like, oh, okay. Fair. There's a couple other things, but I think I'm further story-wise, so I don't want to talk about any other side quests. Is there anything else like gameplay-wise that you guys really? Queen's Blood. We didn't talk about Queen's Blood. Holy shit. I didn't think I would like a card game because I you know when you play The Witcher and you have to play Gwent, and I was like, I hate Gwent.
I did like Gwent.
I was like,
I wasn't any good at it.
I wasn't good at it either. I think that's why I disliked it. And I was playing Hearthstone at the same time, so I was like, why can't it just be Hearthstone?
Which is funny, considering that essentially what the Queen's Blood is it's almost a version of Gwent.
It is almost
Style. Like, it's the same style of game.
I like it better, though. I think it's so good. It's like chess
It's chess mixed with Tetris. Is the best description I can think, because I think in order to really master it in that, you have to be able to kind of suss out in a 3D space and that how those cards are going to affect like each one and that.
You have to get really lucky in the draws that you get on your cards too, because there's been some matches where I'm like literally like, I just need a one. Give me a one.
Yep.
And it's not, I'm getting nothing but twos and threes and I'm like, I just need a one.
I have four decks right now for different scenarios and it's just like, man, if I... there's some matches that are just brutal, but I love it. I forgot to tell you guys that there is a mini game in the Yuffie DLC that is so much fun, and it's you have two sides and then you have all these soldiers and you send them out. Did you just play that?
I played that last night, actually. It's it has to do with a search for these items called proto relics.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun.
And I was like, I hope they bring this back in Rebirth. But they definitely had it in the DLC. Yeah. Anyway, Queen's Blood. I don't think I've ever enjoyed it so much. And now I'm going around to the shops and being like, do you have booster packs? Because they have booster packs that you can buy.
I got the Chocobo Moogle one,
but that was the quest. You can actually buy some.
Yeah, yeah, but I've unlocked the card shop now where I can actually go in and buy off of this guy.
I think I bought two booster packs when I was at Calm.
Yeah.
I think there's a merchant in Calm has them.
I wish I had known that I couldn't fast travel at this point because I didn't get the Moogle card, the Chocobo Moogle card, and I really want it.
Don't worry.
I know, I can go back. But I want to do it because I've been playing cards so much that I just like I want it. Did you know there are pre-built decks in there too that you can? Yeah. If you go into when you build a new deck, you can see the ones that.
Yeah, you
like.
you can build up to six decks.
No. I mean, like they have schemes like that. They have like they're like you're missing this card. This would be for this type of deck, and then there's a couple of them. Yeah, it's really cool. There's like one for all, and then there's I don't remember what the second one was called. But I remember one is like one for all or something. All for one. I don't remember.
That's the one thing I've always loved the card games when they associate them in Final Fantasy. Like Final Fantasy VIII, the card game in that one, I loved. The one where you can actually like use a magic ability to turn enemies into cards to use them in later card battles. Like,
oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. What did you think of Chocobo Racing? You've only done one, but...
Only done one. It took me a few times because I kept... I kept thinking you had to go through the pole and it was just gonna like manifest and demanifest itself as you go, but then I realized I'm like, no, you have to like hug the side of it, because if you're too far out you don't hit the rings and it doesn't count. If you're too close you hit it and it kills your time.
Yes,
so it took me a little while to get the hang of that.
But then, I just did the one race and that, so I haven't really explored it too much.
There's a part later that uses the same controls but not with chocobos. I'm not gonna ruin
that's
that
a for. Funny thing about this game. You expected the pole, you'd be able to go through the poles, right? Yeah. And that, but like this game has a very physical sense of reality to everything and that, which can be embarrassing sometimes, because like every time I go into a shop with a lot of stuff and like loose kind of like barrels and stuff around, the fact that you're dragging like five members behind you and that means you're always gonna be dragging,
bumping into each other.
I think that's hilarious. The one thing I think there's some weird. And this is such a small nitpick. It's like the turning radius is still really weird. Like Final Fantasy VII, like original Final Fantasy VII turning radius. Like I'll be at a bench and then two like vending machines beside it. And I'll try and turn to go to one and it'll go to the bench. And I'm like, why? Why are you back at the bench?
It was driving me crazy. I was doing... the one of the proto thing missions,
mm-hmm.
and it was the stealth mission where you have to sneak into the enemy camp without any of them seeing you, and every single time there's the one guy who only turns like just a few degrees, so you can't run out unless he's got his back to you. And I kept trying to like sneak up to the edge of like the container and everything. And every time I would sneak up to the edge and I would try to like turn to get ready to roll, it would just walk me in front of him. And I'm like, what are you doing? And stop, start a whole thing all over again. Every single time he would not walk to the edge of the container, he would run right out in front of them.
Like, that happened to me when I was trying to catch a chocobo. I was like, why? Why did you go there? Why? Come on.
Really, would it be a Final Fantasy game if you had a proper turning radius?
That's true. It's like not having weirdness during a Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to just tell a story about a soldier? No.
That's silly. Oh, man. Is there anything else we want to talk about with this game? Like, there's...
I just want to go play it.
Mostly I want to play it, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that it took me off Helldivers, which I've been playing a crap ton of, and... Final Fantasy is now just everything I dream about. Like, I just, when I was at my reunion that I had a lot of fun at, but most of it was me being like, I wonder how late I'm going to be, because I want to play Final Fantasy tonight.
But I don't want to be up until 4.
Yeah. I started streaming it, and I announced on my streams, I said, I'm going to be playing this like primarily on stream. And I said that because I want you guys all to like see everything. And then I played the first one on stream, and then immediately at the end of it I announced, so I'm going to be playing this offline and not on stream. I'm terribly sorry everyone, but there is no chance that I'm waiting for streaming days to play this. It's not happening. Like,
I understand. I'm trying to think of what else,
and given the release windows of everything else that's coming out this year, don't see how this isn't game of the year.
Yeah,
locked in.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
There are some games I'm looking forward to playing, but I don't know.
There's a bunch I'm looking forward to, but
I'm gonna try Dragon's Dogma like a little later on, you know. But like, Stellar, this has us locked down, and I'm already thinking like, you know, this is already like, you know, my number one game this year, and that
I don't know
how they're gonna do better.
It's hard because Helldivers is so good, but then it's this Final Fantasy, and Final Fantasy is so good.
Like, Helldivers, I think, will go for it. It's not going to get Game of the Year, but it might go for like one of those other categories that, you know, like a Valorant or whatever, always like what are the MMO categories. Yeah. Like, it'll get that.
Yeah.
But Game of the Year, no. Like, it's
what else is coming out this year that could be fun? That could be this.
The only other game that's coming out this year that I'm even remotely excited for on this level is Wukong, and that's it.
Oh, yeah. Wukong's coming out this year.
I can't think of another game because I've read an article recently that said that there is no, from this point until next year, there are no tentpole releases coming out for Sony or Xbox. No tentpole.
I know what's going to win Game of the Year. It's going to be Destiny 2, the final shape. Is that it? No.
Here's my final shape for Destiny.
So Eric has just announced he's leaving the podcast.
I don't even know if I'm going to play the final shape. Let's be honest.
It's like, why would I?
Yeah, it's fair. For Nathan Fillion, that's all. That's all I would want.
I could watch him on The Rookie. That's fine. I've got my fix of Fillion from The Rookie.
Just head to Calgary and chill out at the Nathan Fillion Civilian Pavilion.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we're going to end pretty soon here.
Just want to go back and play.
I know, but like, what else can we say? Like, to play the game. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Go play the game.
Like, should you be playing this game? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Nitpicks aside, there's little nitpicks here and there. And that, did you guys get the weird sound mix between the music and the dialogue in any scenes?
No. Yes. Yeah. I did, especially in, like I said, in the proto mission. The dialogue, also, you can't hear the dialogue because there's this like techno music just booming as it plays over top, and I'm just like, that's a really weird mix. Like,
but again, it's something you can fix, like in the customization menu and that. So it's not that bad. But it's just like, little nicks and picks aside, it's like there's nothing there that could detract me from saying, like, you know, you should be out there playing this, people. All two of you who are watching this podcast right now.
Hey,
I'm one of them.
There's a bunch of them. we're streaming both on YouTube and on Twitch, so there's multiple places.
Excellent.
Do we want to say where we think this game's going to end? Or are we going to save that for the live version? The actual review? Are we going to do an actual review? We'll probably do an actual review when this is done.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with coming back and talking about this. Sure. I don't know how long it's going to take me to beat it because I am a completionist, so I am going region by region doing 100%.
I will finish it as well. I will 100% as well if I can.
Yeah.
So
we'll talk about it when we come back.
I don't know how long it's going to take me to finish the story because I don't progress the story in games like this until I have the region fully completed.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. And that's totally cool. I sort of want to do that now, but I sort of got excited by going to the next region, and then, you know, we'll see what happens as I move forward. Should you play this game, Brent?
Yes.
Buy it now or buy it later, Brent?
Buy it now.
Hawk, same question.
There's no reason not to. There's no flaws. There's no issues. It's not like Prince of Persia, which had like so many game breaking flaws that kind of fucked it up on release.
Mm-hmm.
Like this game is there. I've had no issues whatsoever. It has run perfectly. It is amazing. Get it now. Play it.
You know what's even funny is that Square Enix was like, you know what? We understand that there's some performance issues. We're gonna release a performance patch today, and I think they're doing it tonight or something like that. I'm like, I didn't notice anything.
And for anybody who complains about like the price of the game and it's $100, like it's easily a 100-hour game.
Yeah, it's worth it.
It's if you do everything, it is easily a 100-hour game.
Yeah. Sorry, Hawk. Recommend?
Yes.
Buy now?
You should buy it. Yes, buy it. Price aside, you don't have a PlayStation 5, go out there, get one, and play this game.
One more question. Like, one more question after you're done talking. Yeah, keep going.
There is... like there is something for everybody in this game, and that, yeah, it's like even if you don't you know, you're not into JRPGs and that, I don't care. Like the combat system, mini games, the great, one of the greatest stories in video gaming history being retold for you. You know, play it
for sure. For me, yes, buy it now. Do you need to buy the collector's editions? I bought the collector's edition for the soundtrack and the art book and the steelbook. Is it worth the extra $40? I do have the
soundtrack. For the sake of owning the collector's edition.
Yeah, exactly.
But
is it worth that price? The CD I have in my car so that I can feel like I'm, you know, going on an adventure, but I do that with other music too. So, you know,
yeah.
You can do that on Apple Music or whatever you stream your music on anyways. Yeah, I'm going to go play this game again. Everyone else is going to go play this game. We 100% fully want you guys out there to play this game. So come on, go play it. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks, probably talking about Dune 2. I'm sure we have more reviews coming out. Stellar Blades is coming out in April. Horizon Forbidden West, the complete edition, is coming out on PC soon. So
God, I still have to play that.
That game.
It's great.
I've been dying to play it for 2 years now. Why did it have to come out right before Elden Ring?
Yeah. Well, now's the time. You can play it on PC.
The DLC, but the Shadow of the Erdtree.
I can't because now I'm busy getting an Elden Ring character file ready to go for the DLC.
Fair. Nice.
So I'm replaying that monstrosity all the way through.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming and talking about Final Fantasy. I don't think we have anything else to say other than just go get it. Go get it now. Yeah. Go play it.
Yeah.
Go get it, Koopo. Yeah.
Finish this episode. We have only like 2 minutes left. Then go buy it. Buy it digitally. It's fine. Yeah. And if you're waiting on PC, it'll be probably like 2 years before it comes out. They usually wait about 2 years before they.
And you'll probably need a really good PC.
They've been really good with their PC releases. So maybe we'll see. We'll see when that time comes. All right. Good night, everyone. For Hawk, for Brent, for me, for Geeks with Kids. We'll see you guys soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for us this week on Geeks with Kids. If you want to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at podcast@geekswithkids.ca. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geekswithkids. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithkidscn. Check out our pics on Instagram at geekswithkids. And you can find all of this good stuff on our website at www.geekswithkids.ca. So if you like what you hear, why don't you hit that subscribe button and leave us a comment. This podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, and your favorite podcasting app. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.